Guys, I had such a fun time last time I came here. I'm glad you did. I couldn't wait to come back and find out what you've got in store for me this time. Especially when I heard Hastings encouraging people to shout. I thought, yeah, that's good. If you want to do it, can you do it now? Is that okay?
Well, tell people what happened, just briefly.
No.
Oh, okay.
I'll touch into it in a minute, yeah? So, yeah, that's all right. Is that all right?
Yeah.
I don't want to say no to you.
No.
Respect that man a lot, and I mean that. Okay. How you doing out there? You all right?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, good. Okay. Well, last time we came, and I've got to get that down, is it for my eyes? You know what is the funny thing? Is that I pray for so many people, and a lot of times God blesses them and heals them. Yeah, I've got hearing aids and my eyes are going wonky. That's funny, isn't it? So like, why does God do that? But it's true. So what we're going to look at today, I think it's, is it the last one in the series? Yeah. We call it foundations, you can call it what you like, but it's what we expect when we come to church. It's the culture that we're building here. And today we're going to do it on honour, and I'm going to bounce out of Romans 12, 9 and 10 that says this, "Love, let your love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with a brotherly affection and outdo one another in showing honour." Outdo one another in showing honour. And as we look at honour, honour is a main theme right the way throughout the Bible. In the Old Testament, you'll find it there 240 times in its different forms. And then in the New Testament, you'll find it 120 times. And so what we're going to look at is what will honouring look like amongst us as God's people here at Trinity and down at the world. And so what we're going to look at is, first of all, honouring God and dishonouring God, honouring self and dishonouring self, and then honouring others and dishonouring others. Why dishonouring? Because that is the culture that we all come out of. We see it in the news all the time. And so, first of all, to honour, what is it to honour someone? And so to honour someone or something is to recognise their true value, is to give them the worth that they deserve. It's kind of to lift them up, is to highly esteem them. We did it a couple of weeks ago for those that lost their lives in the war, and the women that stayed behind to support the guys that did that. We wore poppies to honour them and give them the glory that they deserved. And so that is to honour. What does it look like to dishonour someone? Well, I'll tell you what it is. If you was to sit there and shout as loud as you can while someone's trying to preach, that would probably be a bit dishonouring, wouldn't it? Yeah? Or even worse, if you're to sit there and to start smelling someone's armpits while you're supposed to be listening, come on. You don't let anyone like that intimidate you. We can have fun with this. And for those who don't know, okay, someone last time I came sat there and started shouting while I was preaching, and we just had a bit of fun with it, you know. But I'm going to say a little story that I wasn't going to say, so it might take 5 minutes longer, but here we go. But it matters, you know. I had a friend, Martin, a close friend, and he was an addict. And we were in it together, and then I came to faith. And he couldn't come to church, he wasn't a believer, but it just didn't fit him. So we did an alpha course around his house, and about a dozen people came, 10 of them accepted Christ. It was just the most wonderful time. And Martin, he gave up the addiction. He gave it up. Nobody could believe it because everybody knew in town who Martin was. For 7 months, he gave it up. We gave him a job. I gave him a car. He got himself a girlfriend and a microwave, which was big for him. And you know, in that kind of world, they sell everything, okay? If they've got a microwave, it means they're on the right path. But so he did. But he still couldn't cope with church. Couldn't cope with that. And he lasted 7 months. And then he phoned me up and he said, Clive, he said, I can't do it anymore. I went, what? He said, I'm on it again, Clive. I said, no, Martin, don't do that. And as much as I asked him, he carried on. And he basically drank himself to death 2 years later. He died on Christmas Day. But he just couldn't cope with church. He couldn't come in. But this is the amazing thing. Martin witnessed to more than 95% of people I know that are Christian. And he was back in his little drug dens and his drinking dens because I used to get told, and a lot of people where I come from, and they used to tell me, he witnessed. Now, some people go to heaven as through fire. You know that bit? So I don't believe that Martin will have a mansion waiting for him, but I know that Martin's going to be welcomed into many mansions. Yeah, right. And so sometimes people can't cope with church. We can only go so far. You know, we go as far as we can to welcome, but sometimes we have to build something to get them from that place to a place where they feel at home here. If they don't feel at home here, it's good to do that. But I just felt God asked me to say that story because, you know, there are many out there and many that I've dealt with that can't cope with this. That's why, or can't cope with church. That's why we are not a holier than thou. Only come if you've got a tie and a suit and you look poly perfect church. We love everybody. Amen, church. Amen. But we do recognise that some might need a bit of work first. So what we're looking at today is honouring. And so our highest honour, first of all, must go to the living God. Amen? You know, the Almighty, the one who created the universe, who created all that is. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could see the throne room of God now? Wouldn't it? In God, in all his glory. Well, actually, John was given that privilege in the book of Revelation. He saw the throne. He saw that. Then he saw the whole host of heaven praising and worshipping God and singing, "Worthy are you, Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things." Our God is the Holy Spirit who brought everything into being. Our God is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. Our God is our Father, our loving Father in heaven. He is supremely valuable, supremely precious, supremely satisfying. He is the greatest treasure in the whole universe, and nothing compares to him. Nothing is more valuable. Nothing is more beautiful. And we see it played out in the life of Jesus, who was so loving and caring and compassionate and all the rest that we see in Jesus. And as we remind ourselves of that, something happens within us where we've got to lift our hands and praise God. Amen, church? Amen. That's what happens. But then the opposite happens if we dishonor God. The opposite happens. And it tells us that in Romans 1:21, that those that dishonor God or don't give him reverence, they go on a downward spiral. Verse 1:21 tells us that. It says, look, they become futile in their thinking. They no longer think God. It's all about me, myself, and I, and what I want out of life. And their hearts become darkened. It's the next process that they go through. And then they think they're wise. You ever spoke to someone who thinks they know everything and actually you know why they're talking? They know nothing. And they become fools. That's what the Bible says, that process. And in their hearts, they don't desire God anymore. So God gives them over to their own lusts, the lust of their hearts, the desires of their own hearts. And and they dishonor their own bodies. They dishonor it. That's what it says. And so men give up natural relationships with women, and women give up natural relations with men, and they become consumed with passion for each other. That's what it says there. And in the end, do shameless things. And verse 29 says that they become full of envy, full of murder, full of strife. And doesn't that just show us the culture that we come out of today, the culture of the world? And we can try and fix things, the gang violence, the sex trade. We try to fix the end result, but actually the Bible clearly tells us that the root of it is dishonoring of God. That's where it begins. And so we live a different culture here. We honour God first. We honour God first in all that we do. Why? Because He is worthy. Amen, church? You do glory here as well. Can I hear a glory?
Glory!
Glory! That's it. We love that one. So we honour God first. Yeah. Honour God. Secondly, we honour self. Okay, because the culture we come out of honours those who do well. Those who do well in life. You know, the football players, the billionaires like Richard Branson, or the sports stars like Usain Bolt, the pop stars, the film stars, the models, the beautiful people, the perfect people out there. That's the one that the world honours. But the problem is then we start to compare ourselves with them, and we start to dishonour ourselves. And wish that we had the money that they had. We wish that we had the power that they had. We wish that we was as beautiful as them and looked like them. And we start to beat ourselves up. Maybe we start to say, you know, I've got the wrong colour hair. Or even worse, I've got no hair. Thankfully, I don't know anyone like that, John. Or we start to hate our body. What's that? Do you know something like that? I don't know. We hate our body. No, my ears are too big, or my nose is too small, or too big, or I'm too tall, too small, too fat, too thin. We start to say to God, I'm not happy with the way you have made me. So we dishonour Him, we dishonour ourselves, and I'm on that journey myself. Because I've been training, working out for 30 years. And yet when I look in the mirror, I never look at what's doing well. I look at my belly and I think, you're too fat. And you know why? Because I am too fat. And it's not going to change anytime soon because I love chocolate too much. And even worse, Christmas is on the way and mince pies and cream is a killer for me. I usually put on between a stone or half a stone. And not only that, I speak with a rough and tumble voice. It's like, all right, mate, how you doing? And I start to beat myself up over that. But the scripture says, no, don't do that. Yeah, don't do that. Stop beating yourself up of who you are, who God's created you to be, and be yourself. It's okay to be yourself in this culture. Amen. Be who you are. Be who God has created you to be. Rick Warren has come up with a saying that I love, and that is that you're not okay, but I'm not okay, and that's okay. There's no perfect people here, amen? Amen. Apart from Manuela, but we know that anyway. Probably there's one person in the house that wouldn't agree with that, but there you go. But he wouldn't admit to that anyway, so... Sorry about that. There we go. So we honour ourselves. And so it's not some kind of narcissistic inward look at ourselves, look at me, isn't that? It's all about our identity that Duncan, forgot his name then. Sorry, mate. Sorry. It's all about our identity that Duncan was mentioning earlier. That we've got to start to see ourselves as God sees us and not how the world sees us. That God values each person in here today, values you, whether you know it or not yet, values you so highly, He sent His only Son to come and die on the cross for you, just for you, so that he could bring you back to himself, have a close relationship with you. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says this, that we were bought with a price. The most precious thing in the whole universe was God's own son. And he died for you. That means you're valuable. You are priceless. And church, it's time to start honoring yourself and know that you are infinitely valuable to God. And so what I want you to do is to turn to the person next to you and say, tell them you are infinitely valuable to God. Tell them that now, go on. And now tell them, I didn't say have a conversation, did I? Look at that. Come on. Okay. Now tell them. Now tell them that you are priceless. Okay. And now tell them, can you now tell them that your arms smell? Can you tell? Well, go on, tell them your arms smell. You see, the thing is this, is that one, we're starting to feel built up, honouring, the other one is dishonouring, and we don't, yeah? And so, but we start to honour ourselves and know who we are. You are a child of God. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are Jesus' brother or sister. Yeah, you've adopted into his family. You are dearly beloved. You're a chosen people. God chose you. He knows your name. Each one called you. You are now a royal priesthood. You are royalty, the chosen people. And you are God's special possession. That's what the Bible says. Just think about that. Chosen by God. Chosen by royalty. His special possession. How great is that? You are really, really precious. Each one. And so we are to honour ourselves. And lastly, we are to honour each other, honour others. We've got to start to see other people as God sees them, whatever they're like, wherever they're from. And we celebrate the beauty that they are, the giftedness that they bring to the church, the value that they've got, the gift, the talents. And every one of you is different. Each one of you has got something in you no one else has got. And we celebrate that. We celebrate it. And you see, as we honour each other in that way, it brings out the treasure that is inside of us. We choose to see the best in people, the best in each one. We see what God is doing in them, what God has placed in them. And as we highlight that, instead of the bad stuff, it starts to draw it out. The stuff, the gold, if you like, that has been placed in there, that's been hidden by fear or dishonor or put downs, it starts to rise to the surface. And in that environment, you become the best version of you and I become the best version of me. And that's the kind of culture I want to be part of. Isn't it you? Yeah. Amen. And so what we do is we start to speak life to each other. Speak life as we do that. And we get used to that. We start to say to people, I really value you and who you are. I believe in you. Well done. You're an amazing person. Jerry, the way you talk to me and treat me and encourage me. I come from a background of being dishonored and put down. And I come across Jerry, who's the head of a school, who talks to me in a way that just builds me up. And I've seen you do it with other people, Jerry. It doesn't matter what background they've got. You treat them as though they're a king. I think you're wonderful for that. Dawla, with all that you're going through, let's give him a round of applause. Dawla, with all that you're going through, and yet you glorify God, you chase after him, you magnify him, you come to the prayer meetings. She comes to the prayer meetings, guys. Where are you? Come on. Come on. Well done. And then Christina, wherever you're sitting, you know, what, with all that you do for the poor, you lift them up. And what you've done for Debbie, my wife, who's been through tough stuff, and you've lifted her up, and now she's up and running and helping other people. You know, well done. And Christine, with all you do, I could carry on and on and on, honouring those here that you are so, you deserve that. You deserve that. That is the culture. So I say to you guys, We should be doing that every Sunday, honouring someone else in that, every day of the week. Because it's so easy to dishonour people. We start to gossip about people, them juicy bits of stuff that you hear and pass on. Or we start to undermine people. We put people down. But that's what the world does. And what we're actually doing is we're attacking their identity. And the Father has got something to say about that. Through Jesus, in Matthew 5, he says, look, if you insult somebody, you are subject to judgment. That's what he says. Or if you call someone a fool, then you are liable to the hell of fire. Fool, hell of fire. Who's ever called somebody a fool before? Have you called them worse than that? Yeah, be honest. Yeah, hell of fire. And so we don't have any of that here. And if you hear of anyone putting someone down, if they start speaking any gossip, you tell them, stop, I don't want to hear that. We just don't do that here. Because what it does, it hurts people. It breaks people. And that's exactly what it's designed to do. And it's straight out of Satan's camp. That's where it's from. So we don't do it. You know, the worst person that I've ever seen dishonoured is a young boy called Callum. And Callum was about an 8-year-old boy, used to come to our youth club. And Callum, we found out, okay, his mum and dad hated him. They told him that. We used to cuddle on the side, all the kids there, and showing love because they come out of a community that was rough and tumble. And Callum used to be left out until 9, 10 o'clock at night. His mum and dad said, the only reason why we kept you was because the government gives us money to keep you. They used to keep him in his bedroom and stay there. He had no concept how to give or receive love at all. And there was one time he got on the minibus and all the seats had gone. So we had to ask a couple of them to get off, including him. I have never seen anyone freak out so much in all my life as we touched that button of rejection. Honestly, 10 minutes, you could not go near the boy. He was absolutely freaking out. And there come a day, you know, where we're doing the teaching in the log cabin, and so I had to get all the kids from the pool table come over because they're going to give a talk. And everyone did, apart from Callum and two of his little friends under there. They hid under the table. And so I went up to him and said, can you go up the front, please? And the two boys did, and Callum didn't, he stayed there. And so I went over and I got a cup of juice, and I went back and I took it and I gave it to him. I said, you're right, Callum, you're okay. I wanted to show him the love of a father, the love that he'd never received before. He couldn't believe it. He took hold of it and just sat there. I went up to the front and someone started to teach the kids, and I'm standing there like that. And all of a sudden I felt this little cold hand hold mine. And there was Callum, snug right up to me like that. It's just, you see, this is the kind of thing that honouring somebody does. It changes lives. Because it's so easy to honour people. He disrespected me a lot, under the table of that. I wouldn't have it. Okay, I don't care. I'm going to love you anyway. You see, it's easy to honour people who love you. It's easy to honour people who are nice to you, who are like you, and you know, they agree with you. But what happens with people that are not nice? We're supposed to honour them, those that disagree. You know, me and Debbie used to fall out every Christmas over Christmas trees. Yeah, you get that one in your ass here. I want it up as soon as it's December, get the tree up, and it doesn't go down until New Year. Yeah, Debbie wants to put the Christmas tree up Christmas Eve and take it down Boxing Day. That's it. Yeah? She does. Yeah. So a lot of times I get indoors and this tree's gone. So we had to. So we had to sort it out, and it ends up that Debbie's culture was kind of a little bit like that, and my culture was different, and we chatted and worked it out. But sometimes it's worse than that, isn't it? You know, there is a serious side to this, that as we go closer as a family, there are going to be things that we disagree about, okay? And how do you cope with that? How do you honour someone that you don't agree with? Well, the way you do it is this, is that you are allowed to be fully you, but I am allowed to be fully me. Tell me why you come up with how you feel and think about this issue, and I will tell you how I got to that place. And somehow, then I've understood you, you've understood me, we've honoured each other, and then all of a sudden, with that understanding, we can move forward. Got that, yeah? And so what we do, this is really key, is we decide that we love each other and our relationship means more than any of these things that we know are going to happen in life. Life happens, but before they happen, we decide, no, our love for each other, our relationship means more than what life can do to us. Amen, church?
Amen.
Yeah? But then what about the prickly, miserable people? Those that, you know, they get out of bed the wrong side and they decide they want to kick you because they got out the wrong side of the bed. Or even worse, those one who want to control you with their moods. You know, where they disrespect you big time, and you know they're full of unforgiveness, full of all that is wrong. How do you cope with that? You know, life was going so well today until that person turned up. We all know people like that, yeah. No looking around. Yeah, it's not in here. I know there's no one like that in here. But how do we cope with that? You know, how do we cope with it? This is how we do it. Is that my love for you doesn't depend on how you treat me. It doesn't depend on whether you're nice to me, whether you respect me or whether you don't respect me, whether you're kind to me or whether you sit there and shout out aloud to me while I'm preaching. That's fine with me. I'm okay with that. I'd rather you didn't, but there we go. I will choose to honour you regardless of how you treat me, because my love and honouring of you doesn't depend on you at all. It doesn't. I'm a child of God, and He loves me. He loved me when I was a miserable, rotten sinner, and still loves me today. So I choose to love everybody in light of that, however they treat me. And remember this, you know why? Because I'm in the driving seat of my life and not you. And I choose to do that. I choose to honour everybody. Now, some people off the street will go, yeah, but that's being fake. That's not real. Yes, it is. What am I being real to? I'm being real to my new identity in Christ.
Amen.
Not what the world made me before. Right. And you know, we've got the guy, one of my neighbours, Mick. He's just come out of doing 18 years, you know, Willard family. His wife's even tougher than him. And the boys are 6'6" giants, are like this. For 2 years, we lived next door to them, and it was all speak to the hand, don't want to know. And we always said, how you doing? Hello. Sent them Christmas cards. Always with that blank, that disrespect coming back. Until about two months ago, and we got invited to Mick's 60th birthday party. You know, got there and everyone there had their nose over here and kind of, you know, he went to me, Clive, he went, don't preach to them, please. And I went, of course I won't, Mick. But Jesus says this, he says, follow me. And so with Jesus, he honoured everybody. The tax collectors who were fiddling these people, he saw that there was more in them. He honoured them and rose them up to be leaders. We see Peter who denied him. He honoured Peter, raised him up and to lead the disciples. We see those who sold their bodies for money. You know, Jesus saw beyond the sin. He saw what was inside. And he rose them up as well. And we know that God's grace and mercy and love is bigger than any sin that anyone's committing out there. So we honour them regardless because they're made in the image of God. And we see the soldiers that spat at Jesus, that beat him up and made him look like he didn't even look human. What did he say? Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. He saw something in them that was greater than what they were doing. Jesus never allowed anyone to any dishonor or disrespect or sin stop him loving people and honoring people. And so, church, as we learn to outdo that verse said, each other in honoring one another, outdo. So it's not just I honor you, it's like, so do they honor you. And it's like, right, I've got to honor you more then. It's outdo each other with that. I will become the best that I can be. You will become the best that you can be. I will flourish. You will flourish. And that's the kind of culture we want in this place. Can I hear an amen to that?
Amen.
Can we please stand?
Yeah.
And so I believe this morning that the Holy Spirit is upon us. And he wants to give us new revelation, fresh revelation of who we are in Jesus. And he's going to give a freedom to the scars that have come into our hearts because of dishonor. Have you been dishonored in your life? Spoken about, gossiped about, lied about, put down like little Callum? Have you had that? I had someone 2 weeks ago that the most bright Christian ever. So encouraging. You would think you couldn't get any more Holy Spirit in him if you tried. All of a sudden he realized there was a time in his life where he did get dishonored and he got released from it and freed. And he said, his words were, Clive, I feel like I've been born again. And so I just want to speak what I believe that the Father wants to say to us as a church, but to you as an individual, so that you would see yourself as God sees you, not the world, that you would see others as God sees them. And I believe he would say this, that I am your Father in heaven, and I dearly, dearly love you. I always, always have. I was the one who chose you, who knitted you together in your mother's womb. I know everything about you, and I so delight in you. You are not a mistake. You are part of my eternal plan and purpose. I knew you from before creation. You are dearly loved. And you are the apple of my eye. I've adopted you now into my family. And I want you to feel at home and welcome and loved. You are my son. You are my daughter. You are royalty. No longer servants, not even just friends. Royalty now. Part of that family. And my thoughts about you are more than the sand of the seashore. Beautiful thoughts, delightful thoughts that bring a smile to my face every day. Every time I think about you, you really are my special possession. And you have a place in heaven to be with me forever. And we're going to get to know each other forever and all eternity. Guys, if there's someone here that you don't know God as your Father, you need to know he sent his son Jesus for you, died for you, so that you could come into the arms of the Father and that he too could bring out the best in you. If that is you, come and see me. Come and see me at the end. And there's a short prayer we can pray to introduce you to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But if you have suffered dishonor, put downs like Callum, or been gossiped about or betrayed in your life, and you feel that hurt in your heart, you feel broken, you know that part of you is damaged inside and there is a scar from the past, come forward and get prayer. Really, guys, we need to be getting more prayer here, realizing that Holy Spirit will come and remove the darkness, remove the pain. So when you think about whatever it was, again, it will not hurt, but you will have life. So come for prayer. Or maybe you've been beating yourself up that you're the ones with the ears that are too big, too small, you're too tall, too small, whatever it is. You just beat yourself up because you don't believe you're perfect. Well, here's the news, you're not, and nor am I, none of us are. But God wants to come and touch you and say you're perfect in His eyes. Come and get prayer. And lastly, if you're struggling to honor somebody else that is prickly and they've been getting you down and you find it so hard to honor them, remember you are in the driving seat of your life and your love doesn't depend, your honor doesn't depend on them, but on Christ who loves you no end. If that's you, come and get prayer and receive something from the Holy Spirit today to help you to honor more and love more. Because the world is full of prickly people, guys, but God's love and honoring is greater. Amen?
Amen.
Let's worship our God. But if that's you, come forward for prayer. I'm sure we've got a prayer team. Come forward for prayer as we worship. Amen.